This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. GM reaches a tentative agreement with the United Auto Workers Union. CBS's Stacey Lynn with reaction from the White House.
President Biden says he spoke with UAW President Sean Fain.
They have reached an historic agreement.
And congratulated the union for finally getting the deal with the auto companies.
Due to the commitment and solidarity of the UAW workers, willing to exercise their right to collectively bargain. They want a record contract with over a 30% increase in wages, greater retirement security, and more paid leave.
President Biden issues an executive order that requires artificial intelligence developers to share safety test results with the government if their models pose a risk to the economy, public safety, or homeland security. Dewey Murdick with the Center for Security and Emerging Technology at Georgetown University.
Corporations, in their eagerness to stay ahead of their competitors, might actually release tools that aren't wise to release, or they haven't tested them properly.
Google CEO has testified in one of the most important antitrust trials for the tech industry in decades. The Justice Department accuses Google of using anti-competitive tactics to maintain dominance in internet searches. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur has more.
What the government needs to prove is that Google illegally ran its business in a way that made sure it was the top search engine for people to see. And that isn't as easy to prove as it sounds.
Israeli troops, tanks, and helicopters are pushing deeper into Gaza. CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv, one of the biggest problems for Israel Defense Forces.
We talked about the high number of civilian casualties when it comes to airstrikes or even tanks for that matter. But when we have troops on the ground fighting street by street, they don't really know who these Hamas militants are.
Chaos in a Washington, D.C. courtroom as a U.S. Capitol riot defendant is escorted to jail. CBS's Scott McFarlane was there.
Vitaly Gustchunkowski was found guilty of assaulting police in the January 6th riot. A judge ordered him jailed immediately, even before sentencing, for a series of what prosecutors called threatening, doxing social media posts targeting federal agents. But as agents and marshals tried to take him into custody, he knocked them over, toppled a podium, a computer, nearly a table, before agents could get the very tall and strong Gustchunkowski under control.
A Kansas judge has ruled that the state cannot enforce a new law on abortion pills or make patients wait 24 hours to end their pregnancies. The judge's order is set to remain in effect through next June and the trial of a lawsuit filed by abortion providers. The Fed announces on Wednesday whether it will raise interest rates. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he isn't sold on a Republican-led bill to address PFAS in Wisconsin. The bill would create a grant program to help communities affected by PFAS chemicals and provide aid, but it would also limit the state's Department of Natural Resources' ability to hold those polluters accountable. Evers didn't commit to either sign or veto the bill in an interview with Wisconsin Eye on Monday. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says he'd veto those bills.
That is not going to impact inflation. If we're worried about inflation, let's do a middle-class tax cut, and that's it.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks face the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Miami Heat tonight at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The Bucks losing last night to the Atlanta Hawks, 127-110. Bucks newcomer Damian Lillard just with 6 points. NFL Monday Night Football. The Detroit Lions with a rare primetime game at home at Ford Field against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Green Bay Packers have made their pass rusher, Rashawn Gary, one of the highest paid linebackers, a 4-year deal worth $96 million, Gary on achieving his goal.
It's not hard, man, when you come in an organization like this, and you have guys that's going to work Monday to Sunday and want the same outcome. So it's not like everybody's down, moving around, we're hungry. And like I said, we're excited for the next opportunity. So as long as we have that energy, as long as everybody's pushing to be better and get better and hold ourselves to that standard, look each other in the mirror, understand what we need to do right and what we need to fix that was wrong, we'd be fine.
Linebacker Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No showers overnight. Winds turning to the northwest. Speeds will be gusty. And temperatures by daybreak around 27 degrees. Snow showers Tuesday should end before lunchtime. Around 1 to 2 inches of accumulation around the area. And our high reaching 36. Currently 35 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and a lot of it was made this weekend. Where to start? I'll tell you where we're going to start. We're going to start with Donald Trump's attacking Judge Engoron in New York in his fraud trial. Remember something, he is subject to a gag order in New York. He's been fined twice for a total of $15,000. He keeps shooting his mouth off. Crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump. Remember something when I talk about this right now. Donald Trump waived a jury. In a civil case, and that's what this one is, even though it's for fraud, you can waive a jury. You put in a waiver. You say, I want the judge to hear it. The reason you do that and the reason Donald Trump did it here was because if you did something very bad and you're trying to explain it by kicking the numbers around, juries see through that and don't like it. Judges who frequently have more of a financial background, you hope, will look and say, yeah, well, technically I'm not crazy about it, but he has a point. That's why you do it. That's why you do it. And it happens not frequently, but it happens more frequently than you think. Donald Trump waived his right to a jury trial and asked that the court handle the case. Now he's complaining that there's no jury. The reason there's no jury is because he waived it. He didn't want a jury for tactical reasons. And then when Ivanka Trump, his daughter, is being called to testify along with his two sons, Don Jr. and Eric, suddenly Trump went postal. He went ballistic. Here's what he said. I'm going to read you some of the things he said. Remember, there's a gag order against him. You can't attack court staff. You can't attack witnesses. You can't attack jurors. Here there are no jurors. Quote, he said, my daughter Ivanka was released from this fake Letitia James case by the Court of Appeals, but this Trump-hating, unhinged judge who ruled me guilty before the witch hunt trial even started, couldn't care less about the fact that he was overturned. Okay, time out. What he's talking about is originally Ivanka Trump was a defendant in this case, along with the two sons, and of course, along with Donald Trump. However, on the Court of Appeals, they said, well, Ivanka Trump did profit from this. She did some things, but she wasn't in it deep enough. And we dismiss her, but that doesn't mean she doesn't have to testify.
That doesn't mean she doesn't have to testify. She has knowledge of this stuff, and she benefited from it, even though she was released as a defendant. So here he calls the judge a Trump-hating, unhinged judge who found him guilty. He wasn't found guilty. This isn't a criminal trial. The judge granted what's called a motion for summary judgment. Letitia James put in a motion that said, look, there are no factual disputes in this case. Here are the appraisals. Here's what he said. There's no defense. And judges or Trump's lawyers tried to dance around that, but they had no defense. They have no defense. That's why Trump waived a jury, because jurors can smell this kind of stuff. Judges are very experienced, and they sometimes are jaded, and they sometimes go, okay, well, these appraisals, maybe they were general appraisals, blah, blah, blah. Well, it didn't even work. Here's what Trump goes on to say about the judge. Quote, I believe he is crazy, or at least crazed with his hatred for me. He's an out of control nut job. Talking about the judge who fined me 10 grand over a ridiculous gag order. Racist Letitia James and the judge's star witness, he means Michael Cohen, admitted lying to Congress. Michael Cohen did lie to Congress. That's why he got convicted, to try to protect Trump. The judge is a partisan political hack, this witch hunt against me. There is no jury allowed. Time out. Time out. What do you mean there's no jury allowed? He waived the jury. There was a jury allowed. He didn't want a jury. This is a Biden election interference scam. This radical Trump hater must be taken off the case. Let me tell you something. How many times do you think that that violated? How many times do you think that that violated the gag order? Like a dozen? More than a dozen? He has got to be brought back into court. You don't call a judge on your when you're on a gag order a nut job, Trump hater, deranged. You don't say that to the judge. Now, and I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get to you right after this. But I got to say this first. If this were anybody else, if this were you, yes, you who are listening to me right now, the judge had called you in and he put you in jail for 10 days for doing this when there was a gag order. When there's a gag order. And then attacking the witness and attacking the other lawyer. 10 days. Maybe five if you have a merciful judge, just to give you a taste of it. Here, Trump knows, or he thinks he knows, that the judge can't put him in a jail cell for 5 or 10 days because he's a big man. So he'll keep doing this, and he thinks the judge will find me another 10 grand. I'll get a lot of headlines. My base will like it, and I'll keep mouthing off. The problem is that some of this directs violence towards the judge, towards his clerk, towards the opposing counsel. And I have an idea. What is the judge going to do about this? What is the judge going to do about what he says about his court personnel and about Letitia James when Ivanka Trump is on the stand? Don Jr. is going to be on the stand on Wednesday. Don Jr. He's a lying son of a gun, crooked as a dog's hind leg. Well, here's what I would do. Everybody in the media goes, oh, you can't put him in jail because he's running for president and he was the president. I don't care if he was the president. Richard Nixon would have gone to jail if Gerald Ford hadn't pardoned him. You know, we don't have kings in this country. You don't get to do this kind of stuff. Now they say he's running for president now. Okay, fine. He's running for president now. You're not going to believe this. You know how many people are running for president now? Probably that filed a couple of hundred. Nobody ever talks about him. A couple of hundred. No names. Okay, he's a big name. What you do is he comes into court and you tell the bailiff, you have the police there, and you say, this is contempt. This is criminal contempt. I'm putting you in a jail cell for 5 days. Officers, take him down. Then he says to the Secret Service detail, I want you to come with him. You have to protect him. I understand that. We've cleared out several cells. He'll be in one and you'll be right next to him. And there'll be no other criminals around other than him or anybody else. And you can protect him real good. And if he has to go to the bathroom, he goes to the bathroom in his cell. That's it. And he'll get 3 meals a day. He'll get him pushed through the tray. And what I would do, and I don't know if this judge will do it. You know what I would do? I would go, tell you what, press, you want to come back and televise them. You can do it at state court. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. We're going to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling. You're first. What's your mind to Andrew of Detroit?
Hey, Matt. I've been listening to other people's theories.
Okay, Andrew, here's the deal. Here's the deal. We have a technical glitch. I can't hear. I can talk. So I want you to tell Anya, my producer, your comment, and then she will message it to me, and then I will respond. And Dick of Madison, I see you on the line. Please do the same thing when Anya can pick up the phone. And we are working on it. This is very exciting. Civic media is expanding exponentially around the state. We're all over the state. A lot of listeners. It's just wonderful. But doing the engineering all around the state in a very short period of time is difficult. It's a challenge. We love the challenge. We're doing great. So anyway, Anya is listening to your comments. She will message me your comments, and then I will respond. And that's true of anybody else listening to this. I love your comments. Quite frankly, this show, Matt Flindereck, now 2 hours. I'm very honored to have been asked to do 2 hours. Is really, in many respects, all about the callers. We get a ton of callers, get a lot more callers than anybody else. And what you do frequently, you instruct me, you come bring up things I've never thought about. And you also raise questions that are fruitful questions. And then what I do is I take them and I comment on them. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. What do you do with a former president and B, somebody running for office again? The former president, it's very, very easy. You don't treat him any different from anybody else. Not at all. No differently from anybody else. What you do is you simply say, you're like anyone else. You know, we respect the fact that you were president once, Dick Nixon and Donald Trump. But I'll tell you what, you don't pull this kind of stuff and avoid jail. And then everybody else who says, okay, but I'm a former president, i.e. Trump, and running again. What if he hadn't been a former president? What if it was just somebody running again? What if it's Vivek Ramaswamy? What if it's Chris Christie? What if it's Nikki Haley? What if Ron DeSantis? And he pulled this kind of stuff? You know what would happen? He pulls this kind of stuff. That individual would be in the clink for 5 or 10 days the first time. You cannot defer to this guy. You simply cannot defer to this guy. He's a bully. He's a petty guy. And what he is doing is invoking the prospect of violence. You're not going to believe this. He published Barack Obama's home address just now, just recently. And a guy shows up to kill Barack Obama. He went after Judge Tanya Chutkan. We're going to talk about her in the next segment. Judge Tanya Chutkan in the Washington, D.C. case, the Jack Smith case. And you know what happens then? You know what happens then? She gets a death threat. A woman calls her, says, I'm going to kill you. That woman right now is in a criminal trial. She's going to go to jail for that because she got egged on by Donald Trump. He is a catastrophe. He's a walking crime scene, and something's got to be done. So I got to say to Judge Erdogan, he's not going to listen to me. Don't find him another 10 grand. Put him in a jail cell and put the Secret Service next to him. And feed him like anybody else. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back here. We'll be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you.
93.5 The Tap.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Love. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Andrew of Detroit?
Hey, Matt. Yesterday I called in and said I was terrified. I've been talking to friends and relatives, listening and reading things on the internet, and I'm a little bit more terrified than yesterday. And I'm thinking the only thing that might save us is because of the testimonies that are coming out of these flippers, the DOJ may start to act on the members of Congress that were involved in the coup attempt, and certainly the speaker would be one of them. The other thing they need to do, and I guess Jack in the DC case has asked that judge in another brief or whatever to do something more about the Orange Satan and his comments. Probably that he needs to be jailed to be shut up. Hopefully she agrees with something like that, if it's true what I'm saying. Anyway, Matt, always want to hear your thoughts.
Thanks. Excellent comments. And before we get to the next caller, I want to say a couple of things in response to Andrew of Detroit. First of all, I think there is cause to be concerned. Initially, he seemed like sort of a Buster Brown, sucky-suck type of guy to Trump. And, you know, he's from Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. I have buddies from Shreveport, Louisiana. Claude Reeves, year behind me in school. The Pothorse boys, the two Pothorse brothers, Shreveport, Louisiana, year behind me in school. But the point is, I wouldn't want Claude Reeves and the Pothorse boys as speaker, but they were basically decent guys. This guy is the speaker, and he's the only reason he's the speaker is because they wanted McCarthy and the small Trump faction threw him out. They wanted Scalise, the small Trump faction threw him out. They wanted Emmer, the small Trump faction threw him out. And the reason they could do that is because of such a narrow majority. They're intransigent. They were ready to default after the 17th of November. Then they put up Johnson. And the moderates don't want Johnson. But the moderates are not willing to throw us into default, so they caved. That is the reason why in 1932, Huber wrote that about Hitler's party. And that is, and obviously there are a lot of differences between the two, the Republican Party here and the Nazis back in 1932 have many significant differences, thank God so far. But they have great similarities in how they are operating the parliamentary process. And that great similarity is using parliamentary things to just wear people down and get what they want. And then as far as Trump and the sanctions from the judges, we're going to get to that in a segment. Excellent call. Thank you. We're going to Stephanie, Frank, my friend. It's Stephanie of Madison. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Hey there. Hi, Matt. I'm just going to take a slightly different approach. I just admire everybody for being so smart and so politically connected. Sometimes I just have to kind of pull back from it a little bit. I find it a little scary, unlike Andrew. But I want to say this. First off, the writer for The New Yorker, who wrote an article, it's in the latest New Yorker for the 30th of October, wrote this article about Jim Jordan. And he was on Fresh Air yesterday, and they have excerpts of the interviews. And he said that Mike Johnson is basically Jim Jordan's twin. Okay, here's Jim Jordan, in a suit tote. So that's something to really think about. But what I want to say is, this is just, we have to always remember, number one, we've got to pay ourselves first, okay? If we're going to be effective and active in our lives, we've got to remember who we really want to be. I mean, it's so easy. There are times I just curse these people, and I think, God, you know, they're fellow human beings. But hate destroys.
Yeah, but here's
so
the
thing. Anyway.
Steffi, let me just jump in for a second. Yes, that's true and all that. We want to be, treat everybody as human beings. But what Trump's people are doing, what Jordan is doing, what Mike Johnson is doing, is not moral, is not human, and it's not something we should tolerate, quite frankly. And my concern is that Mike Johnson is a fascist fist in a velvet glove. And by that, I mean, he doesn't have Trump's baggage. You know, he seems to have a normal home life, that kind of thing. He doesn't insult people. He sucks up to them. This is exactly like Scott Walker. Exactly. But then he went in and he signed the right to work thing, busted unions, Act 10. He gerrymandered. They will do that. They will do that. This guy is doing it right now. So thanks very much for calling. Next caller. Bill of somewhere, my friend. I can't read this. Where are you from, Bill?
Oh, Connemore.
Oh, is this is this Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend? Okay, Oconomowoc, I'm sitting out here in the Waukesha studio, and the text is very small. What's on your mind today, Bill?
About Mike Johnson. You know, qualities of leadership. Number one, you get parties to work together. That's number one. Number two, you have a sense of humanitarianism. Number three, you've got a history of writing great bills with both sides of the aisles. Mike Johnson has none of them. He strikes out three times and all of that. So, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I myself, when I find those people in the real world, I kind of like dealing with them because you know what they are. And you play them like a fiddle, and all of a sudden, when they realize they're being played like a fiddle, they just hide. They run away. Yeah. They run away because they're too embarrassed because they cannot back up. Again, no leadership, no uniting, no working together, no co-writing bills, no humanitarianism. He's got none of it.
Right. No, I agree with you, except the difference is I don't like working with him, especially because he's the Speaker of the House. But thank you so much for calling. And Dick of Madison, we can squeeze in a call before we go to the break. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Real quick, what are the chances that our Johnson is connected to this Johnson as well? You know, I can't even imagine that, you know, Ron Johnson from the Senate, all of the things line up. And it won't surprise me at all if they've been in contact with each other in those early days after the 2020 election.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, Ron Johnson, our Ron Johnson, was walking around with the fake electors in his pocket. That is like a burglar walking around with the jewels in his pocket and he doesn't get prosecuted. I'm not kidding. And this guy was the architect in the Congress to overturn the election, including the Venezuela voting machines, the fake brief out of Texas, the fake electors. And yet the only prosecution of these people is coming from Fannie Willis and Jack Smith and then Dana Nessel, great attorney general from Michigan. Our guys were going scot-free. The burglars quite literally, the jewels were in his pocket. I'm talking about the fake electors in his pocket. Guy doesn't get prosecuted. How bad is that? Well, thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. As Israeli troops, tanks, and helicopters push deeper into Gaza, there is growing concern about the safety of civilians in the heavily populated enclave.
Trying to square off against Hamas militants in between 2.3 million people, that sort of population, is difficult.
CBS's Charlie Dankita. The auto worker strike has ended with both sides winning, says Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan.
Auto workers got the kind of raise they deserve for their role in the success of these companies, and I think the leaders of the three companies handled themselves well.
The 4.5-year-long tentative agreements still have to be ratified by union members. Chaos erupted in a courtroom in Washington today when a man accused of participating in the January 6th insurrection refused a judge's order to go to jail. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Federal agents were knocked to the ground, a podium, a computer were toppled as January 6th defendant Vitaly Gostjankowski fought with agents who tried to take him into custody.
CBS News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers called on the state Supreme Court to throw out Wisconsin's current legislative maps in a legal brief filed Monday. The state Supreme Court announced Friday that it would take up the case challenging Wisconsin's maps. Evers joined State Attorney General Josh Call in writing a brief supporting redrawing the maps. Evers added he wants the case to move swiftly and that not one election should take place under the current gerrymandered maps. The Supreme Court will hear oral argument on the case next month. Four different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No showers overnight. Winds turning to the northwest. Speeds will be gusty. And temperatures by daybreak around 27 degrees. Snow showers Tuesday should end before lunchtime. Around 1 to 2 inches of accumulation around the area. And our high reaching 36. Currently 35 degrees.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going back to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Thank you for taking my call, Matt, and great show as usual and wonderful callers. I just wanted to call in real quick. Now, thank you. You are an excellent teacher, and we're so lucky to have you every day. I hope it's okay to give a couple of resources where people can get additional information on what's going on the different characters that are taking place and threats to our democracy, and legal papers where you can actually see them.
Absolutely.
And one of them is Brian Tyler Cohen, and the other one is Midas Touch. And there's a legal AF. And you can see them on YouTube. They'll show the documentation, and they'll see everything you say is fact, Matt. And I'd like to bring up one quick thing here. I think we're in big trouble, and unfortunately, I think it's getting worse. But I think together we can all beat this, and by sharing references and knowledge and documents, people can see for their own with their own eyes, because we need to alert the public. Organized crime. Now, Trump is a criminal, and he's in it up to his eyeballs. However, however, there's a wizard behind the curtain. Trump, he's not smart enough to control all of the facets of our government. However, there's either the betters or somebody higher than him that are the legal minds. Like you said, Matt, they're going to take us down legally. And right. I really believe that.
Right. Well, Gene, first of all, thank you. So I always love it when you call. And first of all, for everybody, because Gene's called into my show for a long time, and Gene watches everything, reads everything, and knows every detail of all these hearings and everything else. So when she says Midas Touch and the other reference, you can take that to the bank. That's very, very good advice. The second thing is that when it comes to Trump and, you know, the wizard behind the curtain and all that, Trump is a malignant phenomenon. But you're exactly right in this respect, that there are a lot of people out there who are going to school on him. Mike Johnson is one, and Mike Johnson is exactly, in my mind, like Scott Walker was, even though Scott Walker got on the wrong side of Trump. These are people who, unlike Trump, don't insult. They aren't, they don't have unusual sexual proclivities, that kind of thing. But they burrow down, and everything Trump tells them to do, they do. And that's very, very dangerous. So, Gene, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Now, I want to talk about something else. Another Trump disciple, another Trump fellow traveler and running dog, Tommy Tuberville. This is getting very serious, because we're going to be talking in a bit or another segment about what's happening with Iran and the United States, the attacks on our troops. We're going to talk about a lot of things. But Tommy Tuberville has now blocked more than 350 promotions at flag rank in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, everybody. And here's what that has cost us. In the Middle East, we don't have a confirmed commander of the Fifth Fleet, the Navy, right around that area. We don't have a deputy commander of the U.S. Central Command. Absolutely necessary. That's the command that's in charge of this whole area. We don't have a chief of naval operations, a CNO. I'll tell you what, when I was in the Navy, there was a guy named Zumwalt, Admiral Zumwalt, great guy, who would send these things called Z-grams. In those days, they were sort of like telegram things. There was no internet. And he would say what we were going to be doing, and everybody looked up to him, and I looked up to him. We do not have a head general for the Air Force. And Tuberville, of course, didn't serve. But not only didn't he serve, they said, well, why are you doing this? He said, well, there are too many officers. It's like bureaucrats. We have to cut down the bureaucracy. He doesn't understand the military. What's funny about him is he has a lot of characteristics that he shares with the extreme left and the extreme right. They somehow think that officers, especially senior officers, there's too many of them. They shouldn't be respected and so on. That is so far from the truth is unbelievable. The average soldier and sailor and Marine and airman or airwoman look up to their leaders, even down to the platoon leader in the Army. They'll look up to their CO of their ship. They want that kind of leadership. They want that kind of guidance. And part of what Tuberville's doing, and Tuberville, by the way, is the guy who said, what's wrong with white, quote, what's wrong with white supremacy? A white supremacist is just an American, end quote. And the other thing he said is the other definition of a white supremacist is somebody who supports Donald Trump, end quote. Now, here's the thing about this guy. He is in there, and yet there were senators not too long ago who demanded that Al Franken get out of the Senate. They were going to throw him out, and he had to resign. He's our best, one of our best senators. They're not doing that to this guy. Why are they not doing that to this guy? He said he's a white supremacist. He's attacking our military. Nobody goes after this guy. They're afraid of going after him. What he is doing, and this is of a piece with what I said about back in the 1930s in Germany, they used a parliamentary procedure in bad faith. In other words, anything that benefited them, they'd take full use of, and anything that was just routine for the other side, they'd fight. This is a thing called unanimous consent. It's not in the Constitution. A long time ago, these 100 senators back in the 19th century, they get together and they go, you know, we're a pretty special group of people. We're a pretty special. It was all guys back then, you know, and they thought they were like the House of Lords. A lot of them were Anglophiles. And the House of Lords in merry old England, they don't have a Senate. Their upper house is called the House of Lords. And these lords are people like, you know, hereditary. Back then, all hereditary, the Duke of Norfolk, the Duke of Sussex, that kind of thing. And they'd all get together, and then Parliament would pass laws, and then they'd decide if they liked the laws. I'm not kidding. They weren't elected. They throw them out. In the 1880s, Gladstone, he was a great prime minister of Britain, introduced Irish Home Rule. Today, that may seem pretty, you know, obscure. But back then, the idea was, why don't you, Ireland was part of the Great Britain back then, all of it. But why don't you let the Irish rule themselves? And then, you know, if there's something we don't like, we can tell them, blah, blah, blah. It passed the Parliament, the House of Lords threw it out. And you know what? As a result of that, there was an Irish Revolution and a civil war. And a lot of bloodshed. The Senate back then think of themselves, and they still do, as the House of Lords. So they have unanimous consent. And the Lords would all say to one another, if any one of us doesn't want something, it doesn't get done. If any one of us doesn't want something. So Tuberville said, I don't want any promotions at the flag level. Rand Paul said, I don't want ambassadors. So we have no ambassador to Egypt or Israel. Are you kidding? Right now, because of Rand Paul. J.D. Vance of Ohio says, I don't want U.S. attorneys because some of them are prosecuting Donald Trump. So you have assistant U.S. attorneys trying to fill the role. To stop unanimous consent, it takes 60 votes. It's like a filibuster, but one guy's filibuster. We have 51 votes if Sinema and Manchin go our way. And I think they would on flag officers. That means we need nine Republicans to say that Tommy Tuberville is wrong. And we don't have it, believe it or not. Ron Johnson supports Tommy Tuberville. Ron Johnson. Of the 368 officers, more than 350 that he's blocked, 72 of them can't assume their new positions. Something like 25 of them have forced to defer their retirement so that they don't abandon their post. But here's James Risch of Idaho, Republican, quote, if it's serious to the Democrats, they should do what they ought to do. What did he mean by that? He meant that we should one by one, that's the unanimous consent, put up each of the 365 and devote time to debate it. And Tommy Tuberville can talk as long as he wants, and so can his friends. That would take months. Right now, we have Ukraine, we have Israel, we have Gaza, we have running out of money on the 17th. A guy that really disappointed me is this guy Thune, or Thune, T-H-U-N-E, South Dakota, number two to Moscow Mitch. Moscow Mitch is sort of normal about this, but Thune says, I support Tuberville. You know, we basically, any of us can stop it. Now, listen to this. There is a guy, a general, Mike Hayden. You may remember the name under George W. Bush. He was the head of CIA and also the NSA director at one time. They asked him what he thought. He said, Tuberville is not a member of the human race. That's what he said. Tuberville took offense. But you know what he did? He turned Hayden in to the Capitol Police, said it was an assassination threat. Let me tell you something, Tuberville. You think you're coming to Milwaukee in July, and you're going to strut down Wisconsin Avenue, and you're going to go to our restaurants, and you're going to feel very, very smug about yourself. I don't want you in our town. I don't want you in our town. I don't want you in your kind. I don't think you're a member of the human race either. I'm with Hayden, very much so. And you know what? I don't want Rand Paul here either, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, or Matt Gaetz. But I especially don't want Tommy Tuberville. How can you as a party, remember, they have 49 senators. How can 9 of them, even if they want to pretend to be white supremacists and back Tuberville and talk to the Trump base, how can 9 of them not say, with 2 aircraft carrier detachments in the Eastern Mediterranean, an aircraft carrier has about 5,000 people on it and a couple of hundred pilots, and a Marine detachment, maybe 2 of them, of 2,000 Marines. They are at risk. Iran is through proxies, launching missiles at our bases. And after November 17, because of the Republicans, unless we take a big haircut on social spending from the deal in the spring, they ain't going to get paid. And their admirals and generals are not getting promoted, or in some cases not being even sent to the ship. This is treason. I don't use the word lightly. A long, long time ago, I had a high regard for the Republican Party. I knew a lot of people in the Republican Party. I never met Dwight Eisenhower, but I thought a lot of him. I did meet Lee Dreyfus. He was a good guy. I met Warren Knowles. I met Tommy Thompson. You could work with them. They would not have refused to pay our Marines and our Navy, an Army, an Air Force. They would not have blocked promotions for our flag officers. Now, what I don't know is why the 51 Democrats don't put in a resolution to get rid of unanimous consent. It's long overdue. We're not the House of Lords. They can do it by majority. And even if the parliamentarian says that they shouldn't do it, they can remove the parliamentarian. 51 senators can do whatever they want, but in no Senate does the majority ever get rid of unanimous consent because they like the prestige. So our recourse is 9 Republicans. We don't have them. Otherwise, we chew up the next 3 months, one at a time, going through well over 350 people. This is naked treason. It's supported by Trump, supported by Ron Johnson, supported by Mike Johnson. And not a single Republican congressman in this state has spoken against it. Not a single one. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is,
you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Macklin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, occasionally you got to have a little fun. This is something that I think is terrific. Here's what's happened. George Santos was arraigned again today. This guy doesn't quite have the number of felony arraignments that Trump does. Trump is 91. Santos is in the 20s, I think. And I forget if today boosted up or they already counted then. Not sure. Over 20. New York Republicans are absolutely petrified because they are right there. He's in the news there every day. You read about him nationally. You really read about him in the New York papers. So four of them got together. They interposed a resolution to expel him from the Congress. Now, can they do that? Yes, under the law, it takes two-thirds. So two-thirds of the Congress, two-thirds of 435, would have to vote to expel him. I assume that the Democrats all would, although what would be funny is if they didn't, then he wouldn't be expelled and he'd continue to be a thorn in their side. But let's suppose they'll do it. That would require quite a few Republicans to do the same thing. I will tell you right from the start, I've always been of the view that the Congress and the Senate should not have the ability to expel their members. In other words, as bad as they are, if they commit crimes, then let them be prosecuted and put in jail. And if their constituents don't like it, which they won't, let them choose somebody else. But back, for instance, in the late 60s in the Georgia state legislature, there was a guy named, I think it was Julian Bond. He was an African-American guy and a Democrat, and he opposed the war in Vietnam. That's all he did. He opposed the war in Vietnam. The Georgia legislature expelled him. Went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no way, you can't do that. Put him back in. I think, quite frankly, if this Congress expelled Santos, they'd probably put him back in, but it'd be funny to see him do it. Here's the thing. He's being charged with some new counts of identity theft. He would charge on donor credit cards, lying to the FCC, FEC, Federal Election Commission, reporting non-existent loans and contributions that were either fabricated or stolen. That's what I mean. How bad is that? How would you like to have, you know, the clerk read that and the judge is glowering down at you? Now, what's weird about this, the funniest thing about all of these charges against George Santos, in my mind, is not what I just read. But this guy, I've seen a number of interviews of him. I've never seen a guy who is such a sociopath that he would almost lie instinctively when he didn't have to. In other words, he'd make up a lie that he didn't have to. And he was given an interview to somebody in the Brazilian press, but he was giving it in English. And the guy from Brazil in press spoke very good English. And he said something to Santos like, how do you like New York? Right away off the top of his head, he said, I like it, but it's a dangerous place. I was walking down Fifth Avenue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man came out with a gun, stuck it to my head, and stole my shoes. This is what he said. The guy from Brazil goes, on Fifth Avenue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Was there a police report? And Santo said, nah, I didn't bother to file a police report. In other words, he reflexively makes stuff up to kind of be the center of attention, no matter what it is. I mean, no matter what it is. Now, when you look at some of these things that he's accused of, okay, identity theft, just so you know, there are people that are not certain his name is George Santos, because in Florida, he used a different name for a long time, and there are people who think that possibly that really was his name. Now, you can change your name, but normally, if you want to change it, if, you know, credit cards and this, that, and the other thing to be running for Congress, you go to court. And you go into court and you say, Your Honor, my name is Joe Jones and I'd like to change it to George Santos. He says, is there anybody here who objects? No. Bingo, you got it. This guy just uses names. So I don't know if he is George Santos. But the thing about charging on donors' credit cards, let me tell you a little background on that one. I've run for office and occasionally somebody will call up and say, I want to donate, you know, $250, Matt. Here's my credit card. They'll say it to my staff. That's a very dangerous thing. I don't like to have credit card numbers around. So they might take it and put it in, but then they're instructed to destroy the number. What he would do would take these numbers, and you know what he'd do? Then he'd use them and he'd go out to eat. He'd go to the store, buy himself some clothes. That's what the guy would do. Buy, you know, that is absolute theft. Now, sometimes what would happen would be, okay, the donor would find out and call him up angry and he'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, somebody else did it, and they wouldn't follow up on it. But some people took it very hard, and that's what happened here. Another way of doing that fraud, David Duke, you may remember him down in Louisiana, David Duke, he was two things. He was a higher up in the Ku Klux Klan, and he was also a member of the American Nazi Party. And he would wear Nazi uniforms, and the Republicans nominated him for governor in the early 90s. They actually did. And George W. Bush, young Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, went there, and David Duke was running against the guy, the Democrat who'd been in prison for fraud. And George H.W. Bush campaigned for the fraudulent Democrat. He said, you got to vote for him. We can't have a Nazi. One of the reasons why David Duke went to prison was because when he would, on his website, say, donate to me, and then there'd be a little box you could hardly read that say, make it monthly. So somebody would donate $100, and then suddenly they'd see $100 on their credit card every month. And some of them would complain, some wouldn't complain, but that's what happened with him. And so some of these characters, some of the more crooked ones in the Republican Party, do this kind of thing. And that's what Santos. So stay tuned on Santos. The four Republicans are in seats that Joe Biden won. Joe Biden won them. Nobody there likes George Santos. They're afraid that in New York, they'll lose their seats. And so they're all ganging up on him. And we'll see if that works out. I have a split mind. I don't care if Santos stays in or not. When it came time to voting for Speaker, yeah, you know, sure, I didn't want him in, extra vote. Now, one vote isn't going to make much difference, but he is a scandal, and he is a black mark in Congress, and he probably should get out of there. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I'm not just a star.
Civic Media Global Headquarters on Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5, The Tap.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.